Right. So today we're diving into some pretty murky legal waters. Louisiana's rape shield law. And a case that'll really get you thinking. State v. Smith.
Definitely a tough one.
It's all about, finding that balance between, protecting victims and ensuring a fair trial for everybody, especially when all you have is he said, she said.
Absolutely. It's a really tough situation.
Yeah.
You've got this case where a grandfather is convicted of inappropriate behavior with his 12-year-old granddaughter, but the entire case relies on her testimony.
No physical evidence,
Nope.
no other witnesses, just her word against his. I mean,
Yeah.
this is something you see in a lot of these types of cases, right?
Unfortunately, yeah, it's pretty common. Which makes this particular case even more interesting because the defense wanted to introduce evidence that the granddaughter had previously accused someone else of molestation
Oh, wow.
and then recanted.
Wow, talk about a legal curveball.
Yeah.
So what were they hoping to achieve with that?
Well, the defense argued that this prior accusation was crucial for evaluating her credibility. They said whether it was true or not, it raises serious questions. If she might have lied before, can we be sure she's telling the truth now?
That makes sense, but isn't that where Louisiana's Rape Shield statute comes in?
Yeah.
Like, that's designed to prevent using a victim's past sexual behavior against them, right?
Exactly, and that's why this case is so fascinating. You have this crucial safeguard that encourages victims to come forward without fear of being judged for their past. But then in this case, it created a real dilemma for the court.
Yeah, because you have this law meant to protect victims.
Right.
But then on the other side, you have the defendant saying, "Hold on, there's evidence that could clear my name, but I'm not allowed to use it." How did the court even, try to figure that out?
So initially, the trial court relied on a previous case, State v. Allen, and they said the prior accusation was inadmissible, full stop.
So it didn't even matter if it was true or not?
Nope, didn't matter at all.
Wow. So even if the defense could prove that she had a history of making false accusations, they couldn't use that information. That seems a little, I don't know.
A little off.
Yeah.
Well, that was exactly what the defense argued, and ultimately the Louisiana Supreme Court agreed. In a pretty major move, their decision in State v. Smith actually overturned State v. Allen.
Now that is what I call a legal plot twist. What was the Supreme Court's reasoning behind such a big shift?
They made a key distinction, saying that prior false accusations weren't about sexual behavior, they were about credibility. And when you're judging someone's testimony, credibility is totally fair game.
So they were basically saying, okay, you can't use someone's past sexual history to attack their character,
Right.
but you can use evidence of them lying in the past
Right.
to question if they're being truthful in the current case. That's a pretty fine line to walk, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. State v. Smith set a major precedent, saying that false accusations can be used to challenge a witness's credibility, but only under specific circumstances.
Wow, so this is big stuff. For anyone studying law out there, State v. Smith is definitely a case you need to know about. I mean, they basically redrew the boundaries of the rape shield law in Louisiana. So what kind of impact did that have on other cases after this?
Well, it forced the courts to walk a tightrope, balancing the need to protect victims with the defendant's right to a fair trial. They had to come up with some very specific rules about when this type of evidence could be admitted.
Oh, I bet. I can only imagine the debate this must have sparked amongst legal experts. On one hand, that seems like a win for due process, but then could this also open the door for victims to be unfairly questioned and doubted?
That's the million-dollar question, and that's exactly what we're going to delve into in the next part of our deep dive. Welcome back to our deep dive. Last time we were talking about the Louisiana Supreme Court and that huge decision in State v. Smith, saying that evidence of past false accusations could be used to challenge a victim's credibility.
Yeah, it really felt like we were standing on a fault line in the legal landscape, you know? So, how did State v. Smith actually change things? Like, out in the real world, did it really give defense attorneys this whole new, like, weapon in their arsenal?
It's been interesting to see how it's all played out. I mean, some defense attorneys have definitely used this ruling to try and challenge accusers, but it's not as straightforward as some people might think.
Yeah, I bet judges are being extra careful about allowing this kind of evidence, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, just given how
Okay.
it could be misused
Yeah.
and the impact it could have on victims actually coming forward.
You're totally right. The courts have been very clear that State v. Smith doesn't give you a free pass.
Right.
You can't just throw any old accusation at a victim and expect it to stick. The bar is still incredibly high.
So, what are the hurdles? Like, what do defense attorneys have to clear to even get this evidence considered? What do they have to prove to the court?
The biggest hurdle, they have to show, without a shadow of a doubt, that the prior accusation was false. I mean, really false. This could mean proving that the accuser recanted, that there was zero evidence to support it, or even that they had a clear motive to lie.
So it's not just a matter of saying, like, oh, well, this person accused someone before, so maybe they're lying now.
Right.
The defense really has to build a strong case that the whole thing was fabricated.
Exactly. And even if they can prove that, the judge still has to weigh it all out.
Okay.
The relevance of that past accusation to the current case, and then, you know, balanced against the potential harm to the victim.
So even if it's, like, technically admissible, the judge could still block it if they think bringing up a past false accusation would be, like, unfairly prejudicial.
Precisely. Judges have a lot of discretion in these types of cases, and they're almost always going to err on the side of protecting the victim.
Yeah, I'm really seeing how complex this is. It's like walking a tightrope between a defendant's right to a fair trial and protecting victims from being, I don't know, re-traumatized or having their privacy violated.
Yeah.
It's how do you even find that balance?
You know, it's a constant challenge, and there's really no easy answer. But I think what's important to keep in mind is that State v. Smith wasn't intended to just throw out the whole concept of rape shield laws.
Right.
It was about making sure that truly relevant evidence in very specific circumstances could be used to help assess the credibility of an accuser.
So it comes down to the nitty-gritty details of each case. Mm. You know, you can't just have some blanket rule.
Exactly. And that's why it's so crucial to have experienced and ethical attorneys on both sides of these cases.
Yeah.
Attorneys who understand the nuances and are genuinely committed to justice while respecting everyone involved.
Speaking of everyone involved, what about the victims?
Yeah.
Has State v. Smith made them, you know, more hesitant to come forward? I mean, do they worry that their past is going to be used against them?
That's a really important question. And honestly, it's one that researchers and advocates have been trying to figure out since the Smith decision.
So has there been like a noticeable drop in reports? Like, what does the data say?
It's not entirely clear cut. Some studies show a slight decrease after State v. Smith, while others haven't found any major change.
So it's still sort of a gray area. Mm. But even if the impact isn't like huge, the fear is still real, right?
Oh, for sure.
For victims, I mean, the thought of having your past scrutinized in court, that's got to be terrifying.
Absolutely. And that's why the work of victim advocates and those support services is absolutely vital.
Right.
They're there to reassure victims, explain their rights, and guide them through the whole legal process, you know.
Right.
With compassion and understanding.
It sounds like the aftermath of State v. Smith is just as complicated as the decision itself.
Mm.
I mean, we've talked about the legal and practical stuff, but what about the ethical side of things?
Ooh, that's where it gets really interesting. And that's what we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive.
All right, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into State v. Smith. We've talked about, you know, the legal precedents and all the practical stuff and, of course, the impact on victims. But there's still one big piece missing from this puzzle, right?
Yeah.
The ethical considerations.
Absolutely. And this is where it gets really, really interesting. Because we have to think about the ethical responsibilities of the attorneys, you know, when this precedent comes into play.
It seems like a total minefield, you know?
Yeah.
Defense attorneys have a duty to, like, represent their client to the best of their ability.
Yeah.
Right. And that means using every legal strategy available to try and get a not guilty verdict.
Right, which could mean, in some cases, bringing up a past false accusation if they think it'll help their case.
Right.
But that's where the ethical tightrope really begins, because they have to balance their client's interests with the potential harm they could be doing to the victim.
I mean, talk about a tough call, right?
Yeah.
You're fighting for your client's freedom, but at the same time, you could be causing even more trauma to someone else. Like, how do you even begin to draw that line?
Yeah, and it's not just about avoiding, like, blatant character attacks or anything like that. It's also about understanding the power dynamics, you know?
Yeah.
Being sensitive to that potential for re-traumatizing the victim and avoiding actions that could just reinforce those harmful biases we see in society.
So how do defense attorneys even navigate this?
Right.
Like, such a complex ethical landscape. Are there any kind of, I don't know, guidelines they can follow?
I wish it were that simple.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's no easy formula. It takes a lot of careful judgment empathy, and really a deep, deep understanding of the ethical implications involved.
It really sounds like a lot of soul searching for the attorneys, honestly.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not just the defense attorneys who are dealing with these ethical dilemmas, right? I mean, prosecutors also have a really tough job in these situations.
Oh, for sure.
So for them, it's not just about winning the case, but it's also about ensuring justice is served, but in a way that respects everyone.
You got it. Prosecutors have a duty to seek justice, of course, but they also have a responsibility to treat victims with fairness and compassion.
Which means they have to really think about how they're presenting evidence and questioning witnesses, especially when dealing with such sensitive topics.
Right, like past accusations. It all circles back to finding that delicate balance.
Yeah.
They need to present a strong case without doing anything that could further traumatize or discredit the victim.
This whole conversation just really highlights how law isn't just about statutes and precedents and all that. Mm-hmm. It's about people, mm-hmm. emotions, and striving for justice in a way that acknowledges everyone's humanity.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And honestly, I think that's the biggest takeaway for anyone listening today, you know, whether you're a legal eagle or just someone interested in how our justice system works.
Davey Smith, really, it opened up a whole Pandora's box of questions that we're still trying to figure out today.
It really did. I mean, it forced us to face that tension between protecting victims and making sure trials are fair. And, you know, it's a powerful reminder that there just aren't easy answers when you're trying to balance these different interests.
It really challenged us all to look closely at the ethical duties of everyone working within the justice system. So where do we go from here? What does the future hold for these types of cases? How do we create a system that's both just and compassionate? I mean, these are big questions.
Definitely questions worth thinking about.
Absolutely. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive on State v. Smith. We hope this episode has shed some light on this really complex and controversial case. And, you know, we encourage you to keep exploring these issues.
Yeah, keep those legal minds engaged. And we'll catch you on the next deep dive.